This is Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Hi, everybody.
Hi, friends.
Welcome back to our podcast. We hope that this moment finds you well and hearing God just speak abundantly into your life. So thank you for joining us today.
Yeah. Wasn't that conversation amazing last week, Jen, with Rochelle Starr?
Oh, it was. It was great.
You all were blessed because, man, that was a great time.
I was so blown away by her good audacity and her boldness and her strength that just kind of bled through on how she was like, okay, God, I'm going this way. If you say this is my person and these are my people. Okay. Like she didn't even, it wasn't even a pause. I love that.
Yeah, man. It was just so inspirational. Like that we could potentially not, flinch about when fear comes our way and really just walk into that. And it sounds like her upbringing was really to do that. And that was just, it was inspiring. Her courage was so inspiring. So I listened to it again and was just like, wow, like this is really a thing. I thought I was courageous, which I am. I'm not saying that I'm not, but that was cool.
Yeah. Cool. It really was. Well, so as a mom of little kiddos, did it make you think like how you could build into your children to be that bold, that courageous?
Yeah. And I just love that. I was so inspired by how her parents had taught her, just to really love what everyone else would say, the unlovable, and to teach her from early on. So she didn't think twice about it. And she's welcoming homeless people into her car and, what other people would be like, that's crazy. And she didn't think twice about it. And she loved them and got to know them and love them well. And so it's just inspiring that we can teach this generation to love everyone well too, and love those people and what that could look like going forward in their lives. So,
yeah. You know what it reminded me of is right now I'm doing a study called Entrusted by Beth Moore, and it's a study in 2 Timothy. And one of the things that she said related to finding your calling and finding out where you're supposed to be is being willing to fail, like to try stuff and fail.
Yeah.
However that looks. So in this Beth Moore study, another thing that she said that I thought was really good, aside from just being willing to try and fail and to fail well, is she said, like, whatever you're good at, whatever it is, even if you can't see it as ministry now, get training in the thing that you're good at to see where God will then use it. Like she said early on in her whole thing of teaching, she said, I had never publicly spoke anywhere. And she said, but I knew that's what I was supposed to do in my teaching. Like she had taught a lot at her church, but like, as far as public speaking goes, she had not, but so what she ended up doing was joining a thing called Toastmasters. And Toastmasters is an organization, really great organization, that helps people learn how to public speak better. Like you're given a topic in that moment at that meeting and you stand up and you speak on it. And so it teaches you how to be a better public speaker. But she said that's what she did, was she found that area and then that she was good in and or gifted in. And then followed that. So I thought that was pretty cool because that she was like given permission for you to like try something and really, fall and say, all right, that's not for me, but I'm going to go over here. So makes me think of Rochelle in the sense of she tried, she was looking for that area where she was called, and she stepped out and tried, and she found her person. She found her people.
Yeah.
It was a kind of a long little diatribe, if you will.
Yeah. Well, it was just so inspiring. So I hope you all were blessed with that. And I would love for you still to reach out to us and let us know what you want to hear on this podcast. If you want more interviews like that, because that was a great time, or if you want Jen and I to talk about certain subjects, because we love that. We love that. We think God is really just speaking about a lot of things right now. And we would love to talk about those things. So,
amen. And speaking of Rochelle, her book comes out today. Yeah, right. Or wait a minute. It's the 7th. Sorry. Or was it the 8th? Now I'm messed up on my dates. What date was it? The 7th?
I think it was the 7th or 8th. I'm the same way. But yeah, so you can buy Rochelle's book today.
Right. Exactly. And that's exciting. It's called Outrageous Obedience. And that totally fits her. You see that title and you go, oh yeah. Yeah. Like God really gave you a great title for your book.
Yeah. So, what a gift. What a gift.
Yeah. So
what a gift. So speaking of topics that we feel like the Lord has kind of just been putting on our hearts this morning to talk about, Jen and I had a small conversation before we started here, but shame today is heavy on our hearts. And, you know, we are in a world right now that everything is instant. Everything can be, everything that, you know, you're under a microscope, everything that you do wrong is literally blasted on social media, or could be in a minute. So, you know, my heart is just heavy for teenagers and this younger generation that has had to come up in this world that we are currently in, and really can't walk in the fullness, or feel like they can't walk in the fullness of who they are and who God has created them to be. Because if it looks different than everyone else, then they're going to be ridiculed, bullied. Like, you know, that was normal for us, but on social media to the world, that's a whole different world where we were bullied, you know, with a set of friends or students at school, or, you know, family members, whatever that was, not by the entire world. Like literally a gal could make a mistake, and that post being posted on social media could go around the world within days. Yeah. And for that person or that young man, that girl, to have to live with that for the rest of their life because they made a mistake. You know, I'm sure glad that I didn't grow up in a world, especially when I was a stripper, that could have been broadcasted all over social media and still been circulating today where my children could see that. Like, this is a whole new level. So God, it just has these young gals and these young teenagers, also these young men, because that's a whole thing too, heavy on my heart, because this is unreal. The things they have to deal with compared to what we really did, and to not be able to be who you are, because of this barrier, if you will, it just breaks my heart. And I think, you know, there's so much suffering with these teenagers now that we don't even see. And the shame in their lives is just so overwhelming, you know. And parents, we're putting on stuff on social media, and what it appears to the outside world is that we got our stuff together. Well, we're all just hot messes.
Right.
No one has it together. Like, no one does. So, and that's okay. Right. So when you know, that's why I kind of broadcast my hot messes. Like, it's okay. Because I remember one time And this really convicted me. I went to one of my daughter's preschool parties for school and made this cute little like Pinteresty thing. It was like Rice Krispie Easter baskets, and it had edible grass and these eggs in it that were edible. So it was really cute. And to the normal person, it looked like I had my stuff together. And she was like, oh my gosh. She all of a sudden felt all this shame. And she was like, how do you do this? You have three young kids. Like, how do you have it together? I was like, she was like, and your pictures on Facebook, because I was a photographer, look so beautiful. And it looks like your kids are just perfect and your family's perfect. And I'm like, okay, this stops now.
Yeah.
Because I'm a hot mess. And I'm sorry if I ever to the world convince them otherwise. Like, God uses me because I'm a beautiful mess and I need him in my life. And so I need him to take the lead, you know. So everything changed because of that one comment that, you know, the shame she felt because I look like I had it together.
It's
She's trying to.
shame. It's shame driven by competition, right? Like, or
Yep.
comparison, not competition,
Comparison.
comparison. It was,
Amen.
yeah, it's the one thing I really hate about social media, because you see a really great headshot from someone or a profile picture, and
Right.
you don't realize there are probably 40 like really bad ones, and they find just
Amen.
that one great shot. There it is. Kind of like, you know, like, well, when you took photos for my cover of my book, like how many photos did we take? Holy cow. There was like
Right.
a lot. And there were a lot that didn't work. And so, and there was the ones that did, you know, because you're a great
Right.
photographer, but it's the same sort of thing. So you see that, and you have to remember that's like one shot out of, like I said, 40. So
Right.
that's one thing, like the shame out of comparison, because you don't measure up, which can just be this horrible thing. And the fact that social media is, it's immediate, it's forever. Like, even when you put stuff out there on social media, internet, whatever, it's there forever. Online bullying, just a horrible thing. There's cancel culture, there's all of
Yeah.
these things that, like, my goodness, we never had when we were growing up. Like, I can remember magazines were like the big thing where you did comparisons, like, do I look right? Am I
Right.
dressing the right way? And then you, of course, would have comparisons with the people around you, and then that would just drive a lot of shame, and then it made you feel not as good. Like, I don't
Right.
measure up somehow. I'm flawed. I'm broken. I'm never going to be better. And when you're a teenager, everything feels like fatal. Like, I'll never recover from this. It'll never
Right.
get better. My life will always be this. And so, yeah, it's like a perfect storm. I can't imagine all of that occurring in cancel culture, social media, cell phones, you
Yeah.
know, and Snapchat and TikTok and all
Right.
of it.
Well, and we think, you know, the big complaint we used to hear all the time, like you said, was these women in magazines, this isn't a real thing. There's editing, you know, like Photoshop, obviously, and the things being sucked in and tucked in the right places, stylists being able to style this person. But we battled with those things in our own mind, if you will, because we open it up and then our mind drew conclusions like, well, you don't measure up to that. Well, now put another level on that. You see something on social media as a teenager and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, that girl at school is so beautiful. I will never measure up to that. And then you post a picture and someone actually tells you that. You know,
Right.
like there is, it's not only in your mind, there's kids literally putting it on the internet, not just for you to see, but for everyone else to see and for everyone else to chime in, like, yeah, that does not look good on you. You're too fat, you're too
You're oh,
skinny. You
yeah.
know, like I just can't imagine growing up in today's world. Like it's just heartbreaking the weight that these kids must be carrying. It makes me want to cry. Like, it, the, just the weight, the weightiness of what that must have to be every single day to not only battles the demons, if you will, in your mind, but for really other people be speaking those things, you know, to kind of just back up those lies. Like, wow, the trap of shame that must be going on in these kiddos' minds today.
Yeah.
It's just heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is. It is. So that's, you know, shame that's driven by comparison. And then there's another component to shame that involves being a victim. And that's shame that's driven by fear and how that can, it can totally destroy everything about your self-image. It can make you very secretive. It can lock you into bondages of your trauma in ways that it will just harness you for the rest of your life if you don't allow God into those areas and overcome that shame. So, because shame is a liar. Shame is a liar, and I hate it.
Yes. Right. And you're so right. Like, today in this culture, also mental health is became a huge thing, which is amazing. Like, it's amazing that, you know, these kids are like, it's being normalized. Like, oh, there's nothing actually, you're not crazy. This is just something that you need to heal from, just like heartburn or diabetes or whatever, because that was not a thing. Like, we just thought we were crazy. And then we had whoever else telling us that was a thing too. And so we didn't have this help readily available. So I guess in some ways we have, you know, an answer for these kiddos, but also a problem is some professionals are so quick to drug these kiddos. And as far as, not that drugs are bad, please hear me when I'm saying this, drugs, medication for mental health is sometimes what is necessary for the situation at hand. So I'm not saying these are a bad thing, but when that is always the first answer and not getting to the root of the problem.
Amen. That's a problem.
That's when the problem happens, because, you know, I know when I was crying out for help and my parents went and got me a counselor, they didn't ask me questions like, was I sexually abused? Or, you know, what do you think? Ask me just questions that made me think like, maybe this is where the problem is. Like, you know, what are these side effects you really think like are coming from? Because I really do think God kind of highlights that if we really sit down and just spend some time reflecting on those things. So instead they're like, okay, well, you are suicidal. You are depressed. You have anxiety, which we've all suffered, maybe not all, but a large part of us in the American culture have suffered from this at some point or another. So they say, here's your side effects. Well, here's the medication. And not that medication maybe is not the step in that way, but why are you suicidal? Why are you in this cycle over and over? Why do you have this eating disorder? There's a why there. There's a why.
Right.
But shame tells us, and not always, I feel like I was oblivious to, because my parents didn't know to talk about, is there a root, and, you know, all these deep things, but I was so oblivious. So we just have to do better in questioning, like, if you have abuse or major traumas in your history, let's go there. Because your brain's not fully developed yet. And man, if you get healing now, today, in this space as a young girl or a young man, you can walk in freedom forever instead of years of oppression and whatever, like Jen and I had suffered, like, because we didn't get to the root of the issue.
For a long time. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
I feel like it, as an example to give to people, when you think about trauma, I know I said, if you bury a trauma alive,
yeah,
it comes back, but think Amen. About it like this. Trauma is like a prisoner in your body and it's behind bars. And when you push it down, it just sits there and waits for a weakness or a way to bust out of that cage. And it literally will wait for a weakness in you and will bust out in ways that you just never expected, whether it is suicidal thoughts, whether it is depression, whether it is an eating disorder, whether it's sexual dysfunction, whether it's an aversion to touch, whatever it is, your trauma is trying to get out because that's the way God made you. God didn't make right. you to push down your traumas and just forget about them, because that's not healing. I had someone say that, you know, I just moved on and that was my healing. And now all of a sudden everything is back. It's like, well, then you weren't healed.
Right.
You were literally treating your trauma like a prisoner of war and you locked it away and it was just waiting. It was just looking for those moments, those weaknesses to be able to like just punch through. And so
Amen.
You have to process your trauma, even if it's a little at a time, even if it's a baby step. Tiny little baby step. And I said this in a different podcast. I was talking about healing and about how healing can be, it'll sometimes look like a baby step, baby step, baby step. And you get so far, and sometimes you have a big step and it's like, wow, like, ooh, I got over that. And then you'll have more baby steps. And then sometimes you might take a couple of baby steps back, but then you know, it doesn't negate the previous healing, but
right.
To walk through getting through that, you know, the healing for that trauma, you have to take those baby steps because it will come back. It can ruin your health. It can, your mental health, your physical health, it can hold you in bondages. And God doesn't want you to suffer like that. God wants your freedom. He wants your freedom right. and healing from the trauma. And shame right. will lie to you and say, oh, you can't tell. You can't tell. If you tell, then everyone will know and they'll treat you differently or you won't be as good. And it's a shame, you know, shame is a liar. Shame is a liar. And
right.
it masks itself as fear. I can't tell anybody. I gotta keep it all secret.
Right. And so I just want to encourage our audience. If you are just suicidal, you are struggling on the daily, anxiety attacks, if you are living a promiscuous life, if you are addicted in some form to anything, just ask yourself why that might be. And if you've had any trauma, whether it be sexual abuse in your life, whether it be divorce in your family or abandonment or whatever that is, if you've had a trauma, how big or small, which is almost all the population, then maybe that's where you can start.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a starting place. Just entertain the thought of that, because shame will tell you that it's not, just to say surfacey, because, you know, we're Christian broadcast, so I'm going to say it. The enemy would love to distract you and just have you working on all the little side effects. Well, if you're promiscuous and you were sexually abused, that side effect is likely not going to go away unless you get to the root of the problem, which may be sexual abuse.
Yep.
So unless you get to the root and heal that root, then you're going to struggle with maybe being promiscuous or an addiction to porn or whatever, however that plays out in your life, because there's many side effects to trauma.
Yep.
But we can't just focus on the side effects. Can we get medication to help us to get through the day or to get us out of that space of, you know, suicidal thoughts so we can have more clarity of mind? Sure. Absolutely. Yeah, praise the Lord.
Yeah,
but perfect. We have to get to the root, or we're caught in an endless cycle. And here we are sitting today. I'm 41. I'm not sure Jen's age. Maybe she doesn't want to tell. Doesn't matter.
I'm older.
But sitting in the space today of like still recognizing cycles in our own lives because of a trauma that occurred. And if we could have gotten to it sooner, we could have gotten to it quicker. If shame wouldn't have told us that was not a problem, that we could stuff it down and move on.
Yeah.
Then our lives could look totally different.
Right. Right. It's like, what possibilities would have been there?
And,
and I, you know, I accept that for whatever reason, my healing had to happen now because I trust God. 8:28 is in effect. Romans 8:28. But yeah, I pray that other people get it earlier, get it sooner, learn the lessons from things that we've been through. And you know what? I just want to reaffirm what you just said that I absolutely loved about medication, that, you know, lots of people, excuse me, I had to clear my throat. Lots of people have an aversion to medication because what they think it says about them, or they may see it on the other side as being the cure all. When I went through counseling, I got on medication. I had two doctors, one that regulated my medication and one that I actually talked to. And the medication, the way as it was explained to me was, it was to help me even out enough to do exactly what you said, to have clarity and to be calm, to be able to really start addressing the things that I needed to address. Because medication was not the cure for my trauma. It was just to like, kind of like downshift in my body, if you will, to be able to process things a little easier. I was thankful for medication. I'm still thankful for medication.
Right, right. And there's a place where it's just not the complete answer. And I think, Jen, you were talking about 2 Timothy. Weren't you saying something about that earlier?
Yes.
I don't know, but 2 Timothy 1:7 just came to mind.
Yeah.
For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And I think one of the versions even says sound mind.
Sound mind.
So, yeah, that's what medication can do in that place, just to get to maybe where the triggers aren't speaking louder than, you know, the actual, like, being able to get to the feelings and the root of things. Just where you can get to a space of more sound mind, so you can really dive into those things. But we have to stop as a culture just advertising that that's the answer, and really get to the root. If not, we have to deal with this for the rest of our life.
Right.
Stuck in these cycles forever.
And I also want to say, like, when we talk about medication, like for depression, what have you, there are some cases where, I'm going to give this as a caveat, where you do have something chemically wrong in your brain that medication keeps you from going to like really dark depression, maybe you're bipolar, what have you. So in that case, that's like life support, if you will.
Right. And thank you for saying that, because if there's something chemically wrong in your brain, there's no shame. Again, shame.
Right.
There's no shame in taking that medication.
Right. Amen.
It's just like any other disease. But when we are just stuffing and masking our traumas and roots, and accepting that it's going to be this way for the rest of the life, that's when there's a problem.
Right.
We're just treating the side effects.
Amen. Yep. Yeah. Just wanted to clarify that difference.
Yes. Thank you for doing that, because we don't want anyone to feel any sort of shame.
That's right. Amen.
On this podcast, because, you know, we just want what God wants for you. And I know God wants your healing.
Amen.
So you're not to feel shame here. And if you need that medicine, and then take that medicine.
Amen.
Obviously, it's prescribed by a doctor and all those things, but there's no shame in that.
Yeah. And then work on the trauma. Work on the trauma. Let that prisoner out. Because if you don't, he'll find a way, or she will find a way out on their own. And it can be really bad when they do it. So
really bad.
Yeah. So, all right, friends. Well, we're going to wrap it up there. This has been a great conversation about shame. And like Tiffany said earlier, the email address is in our description. email us. Let us know if you have any questions or any thoughts. If you'd like to hear an interview with someone specific, we'll reach out to anybody to get them on the podcast. I think it would be awesome to do more interviews. But yeah, the email address is in the description. We'd love to hear from you. So
bye, friends.
Bye, friends. We'll see you later.
You've been listening to the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Podcast copyright 2022, Parable Road, LLC.